Morning, everyone. That meeting is next week. It's next week. Yeah, today's the 16th already. So, join us right after service, similar to last time. Just come, you know, remain here, and then we'll just have an opportunity to ask questions. Also, going to be some informational things too about the church, and also how we can stay more connected. Did you know we have a church app that you can put on your phone? How many knew that? Like five, right? See, that's why you got to come. You have a church app. You can get notifications, you know, announcements. We also have a church management system for like different things that we'll be doing. This way, as we have all the information on there, emails can go out, text messages can go out, all those different things. So we'll hear a little bit more about that next week. We had a wonderful men's meeting this Friday. We went into the city. We joined together the last couple times here, but then we had it in Philadelphia this time. I think we had a nice time together in the Lord, and opportunity for men to actually share a little bit, which, you know, we don't always. I've been men's meetings for a long time as a Christian, and most times it's very crickets. You know, we'll talk about baseball, football, we'll talk about that stuff, we'll talk about work, but then we talk about like opening up and sharing, it's usually, you know, but the guys did. They shared a little bit. They talked a little bit. We got to know one another a little better, learn how to pray for one another. So we'll continue to have the series of meetings, and we'll be announcing the dates, you know, fairly soon. But this morning, do you have a Bible with you? Do you? Do you have a phone Bible? You could do a phone Bible. That's fine. I have no problem. As long as it's muted. Silence, you know. I have my Bible, and then I have my phone Bible. And I sometimes when I'm in meetings, I pull out my phone. People think I'm probably texting or something. I'm looking up scriptures, you know. But whatever you have, I know we put it on the screen, but I also like us to have the Word of God in our hands. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Many times as I've, over the years, preparing for messages for a long time now, you know, for me, this is just for me personally, many times I don't really receive a message for a Sunday, especially like until sometimes Saturday night, you know, sometimes Sunday morning, you know, sometimes earlier in the week. And this one came a little bit earlier in the week, as I was just kind of not even directly praying about anything, kind of just laying in my bed in the morning, kind of just thinking, meditating a little bit, you know, asking the Lord for some things, and just, you know, kind of it's been that quiet time of communion. And he dropped this scripture on my heart. And I, first thing, you know, is it for me or is it for the church? I always say, you know, Lord, let me know, give me that direction. But I believe it's for all of us this morning. So in Luke chapter 2, we have an interesting story about Jesus. We don't know much about Jesus's, you know, young childhood and so forth. We have just a couple little, we see his birth going into Egypt. We see this event here, you know. Every year his parents would go to Jerusalem. This is begin verse 41 of chapter 2. They were faithful going to the feasts for Passover especially, and they went up. So when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they could not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. We sometimes look at this and read it and go, yeah, it's an interesting, cute little story. And you know, we maybe those of us, especially who are parents, you know, think about, you know, times that we misplaced our kids. You know, no, never did that. Sometimes intentionally. you know, big crowd people. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all their other things. You know, it would be easy to get lost. It's, you know, and they just assumed that he was with family and other people and whatever. And I know that there's some Bible commentators that kind of go leaps and bounds, try to not put any blame on Mary and Joseph. Well, no, you know, I'm not here blaming them because we've all done it. But you know, they misplaced the Messiah. I mean, could you imagine Mary? Not only is her son, I lost the Messiah. You know, but so they go look for him. 3 days later, they find him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Just a very, very quick story, because growing up, I was the oldest, you know, of the four children. And, you know, as I got older, I started to do my thing a little bit more. And when I met Meg, you know, I just wanted to hang out with her a lot, you know. And met her, went up to her house. I think it was the first time I went up to her house. And, you know, we just talked and talked until I lost complete track of time. And it was like, so I ended up leaving her house like 2 in the morning, you know. And this is, again, before cell phones, texting, all those different things. And I don't know, it was late, very late, maybe later than that. And I'm driving home, and I'm like, well, you know, coming home, you know, pretty late. Get up, and of course, living in the city, I get there looking for, hoping I'll find a space. I'm driving around. And as I drive around, I turn the corner, and I see something on my step. And I went, oh, it's my mother. So I slowly found a parking space. And I walked up to the step, and she's looking at me. And all she said to me was, don't ever do this to me again. Turned around, walked into the house. That was the end of that. But that, you know. Jesus, what did you do? Why'd you do this to us? They were worried. They were crazed. They lost Jesus. They lost the Messiah. Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And we can identify with that feeling, even if we haven't ever been parents, things that we've lost, misplaced, or people, the connections, or whatever it happens to be. And he said to them, why did you seek me? I know what I would have said if my kid said that to me. Might not have been so nice right away. My first response, what do you mean, why did I seek you? You know, did you not know I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Not that they didn't get it from the standpoint of they didn't hear him, and not that they didn't know. I mean, they knew this was the Messiah. They knew he was a, you know, special son of God. They knew this, but they didn't quite make this connection of what he actually meant, that he must be about his father's business. It was typical in that day, in the culture, that a young boy would follow after his father's business. It was pretty much, you know, the way things went for the most part. And when they did, at 12 years of age is usually the time they would start to, I guess, apprentice with dad, start to get into the business with him. And he said, I must be about my father's business. And Joseph's probably thinking, we didn't want to open a carpenter shop in Jerusalem. We got one back in Nazareth, Jesus, you know. But the next verse says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He must be about his father's business. He goes back home with them. Doesn't fight them. Doesn't act like a bratty preteen. He goes, listens, he obeys. He increases as he gets older, and this is all we know about Jesus until, you know, 30-some years old. And one of the things we know about Jesus is he was and is the Son of God. He is God of all creation. He never stopped being God. He didn't lose his deity, but when he came to this earth, when he was born of the Virgin, he took on humanity, he took on flesh, and as he took on flesh, he was born a baby, not born 30 years old. He didn't come out of the womb already talking, walking, you know, full height and stature. He grew. He developed like a human being. And what we know about Jesus is, you know, he wasn't like we would think of like this Superman from that standpoint. He if you looked at him, you would think he was just a regular young kid. But he wasn't. He was more than that. And at every stage of his life, all the way until he left this world, he was perfect for every stage of life. He must be about his father's business. There's something about Jesus, something that was in him that he knew he came for that purpose. He knew. I don't understand. We don't understand. And we get to glory one day. Maybe Jesus will teach us or show us more. I don't understand what it was like to grow up in that household. Mary and Joseph know he's the Son of God, but they don't understand these things. They just see the kid. They see the young boy that they changed his diapers, and they, you know, she nursed him, and they watched him walk for the first time. I mean, it just kind of blows your mind, you know. I don't understand what it would be like for us to be in that presence of God as he grew up. But he grew up. And there was something from him that he would have known that he had this mission, that he had to be about his father's business. And now he's 12 years old, and it's time to do the father's business. And he goes into the temple, and he begins to debate with them and talk to them about the things of God, amazing them with his answers. They said, how could this young kid know all these things? I must be about his business. But, you know, it's interesting. We might be saying, well, what was this father's business? What was this about? Well, we know ultimately it would be Jesus going and doing what he came to do. He came to bring us salvation. He came to die. He came to take our sin upon himself. You know, he didn't come to start a religion. You know, there's other people that came to start religions. Christianity is not a religion. Jesus came to die. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sin. Jesus came to bring us salvation. And as he came to do that for us, we say, okay, he's in the Father's house. He's in the temple. He's debating with them. But he began his work really in a different way. See, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that this mind, this is verse 5 through 8, this mind should be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we should have the same mind. I want us to be thinking, yes, about Jesus first, and I want us to think about ourselves this morning too. I want us to think about this mind in Christ, the same mind. We want to have this mind that Jesus had. Jesus knew who, being in the form of God, right, because he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is in the temple. I must be about my father's business. But what do we see him do first to begin his father's business? He actually went back in obedience because he was a minor child and was subject to his parents because he knew the commandment that said, honor your mother and father, and Jesus never sinned. So here he was honoring his parents, being obedient to them, going back. And then we know we don't see Jesus later till he's about 30 years old, meaning he went back to Nazareth. And after this point, we don't hear about Joseph anymore, you know, his stepdad, if you will, his earthly dad. But we don't hear about him anymore. More than likely, at some point, Joseph dies, or, you know, I'm sure he died. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, now being the firstborn, took up that carpentry business to provide for the family. Because the scriptures tell us that if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an infidel. Jesus, being obedient to the Father, the plan of the Father, did things the right way, and he stayed at home taking care of the family when Joseph wasn't there anymore. So he did. He worked. He became a carpenter. And all that time, he was doing his heavenly Father's business also. See, sometimes we look at this heavenly business, heavenly Father's business, and we think what it must be like and this majestic type thing we must do, and we forget many times it's doing what he's called us to do right now. Right now. See, Jesus had a call on his life, obviously. Jesus knew he had a purpose and a plan. And as I was preparing for this, I was looking in the Gospels, and I said, let me just look at Jesus and again his life. And I'm reading through, and I really was led to the Gospel of John. I typed up like 3 pages, which I'm not going to go through all 3 pages this morning, but I typed up all these scriptures which all talk about him doing the Father's business. John 4, it says in verse 31 to 34, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, asking him, Master, this is when he's with the woman at the well. He's been walking all day. He diverted the journey to another place because he wanted to go to Samaria. He went a different route to go to Samaria because he had an appointment with this woman. They didn't know, with the disciples. They go to get something to eat. He's sitting at the well. The woman comes up to him. He ministers to her, talks to her about all these different things about her life, that you had 5 husbands. Now you're shacking up with a guy that's not your husband, and all these different things. She now, this is the Messiah. She goes back and tells people about Jesus, right? All these different things, doing his Father's work, right? And the disciples come and say, Master, you didn't even eat yet. And listen to what he says to them. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him food to eat, you know? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. When a man knows he has a particular job to do and he knows that he's called to do it, he does it. Jesus knew he had a call in his life, and he did it. He went out to accomplish that work. John 5:17, Jesus answered them as they were kind of coming against him because he was healing on the Sabbath, you know, and they thought he was breaking all the law, but Jesus was teaching them that Sabbath was created for man. But anyway, and he was the Lord of the Sabbath, but he answered them and says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. See, the Pharisees amongst us, I hope there's none here, but the Pharisees amongst us that may say, no, you can't or you shouldn't do this, that, or the other thing. But when you know the Lord has told you to do something and laid it on your heart, you do it. And you don't worry about the naysayers. You just do what you know that the Lord has called you to do. See, Jesus never sinned. Never sinning, he also never veered from the Father's plan. He worked the plan completely. He was completely obedient to the plan, and he did everything he was supposed to do. You know, the Apostle Paul said it this way when he knew that he was called by God to go out and preach the message to the Gentiles. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. In other words, I got to do it. I have to do it. And he loved to do it, and he did it with zeal. And remember Paul. Look at Paul. He was a Pharisee, a Jew, hated Christ, hated Jesus, hated the church. He was out there trying to destroy the church, take them back to Jerusalem to be killed or to be incarcerated. He says later, another time, compelling them to blaspheme, in other words, to try to get them to deny Jesus Christ. All these different things. Yet when he saw Jesus in this with the same zeal, and I would even say a greater zeal, that he was out trying to destroy the church, Jesus sent him to build his church. And he says, I got to do this. I want to do this. If I don't speak this word out, I'm going to explode. Nobody's going to stop me. Couldn't be the beatings and the shipwrecks as we went through the book of Acts. We saw all those things. I want to keep doing this. Jesus did the Father's work. Look at Jesus one more, or a couple more. John chapter 6. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He came for us. He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to give us eternal life. There's no doubt Jesus had a mission to do the Father's work, to do his Father's business. And he completed that work. After the Last Supper, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, when he prays in John 17, that wonderful, really that's the Lord's Prayer, John 17. The other one's really the disciples' prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. John 17 is his prayer. You know, beautiful prayer. If you never read it, please go read it today. But he speaks these words in verse 1 of 17. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour is come, because he's going to the cross very soon, right? Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, he came for us. He came to save us, right? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and listen to this, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Completed it. Job done. He said from the cross not long after this, it is what? Finished. Done. Complete, paid in full, it's done. But what about us? Jesus, no doubt, had a purpose, a clear directive of his Father's business, and he came to do that business and did it completely and finished the work. But let's go back to that same John's prayer, Lord's Prayer in John 17. Read these verses along with me from 18 to 24 as he's continuing to pray to the Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, speaking about the disciples right there at the Last Supper, right? And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And you say, well, that's good for them. So Jesus had a mission. Jesus had a plan. And the disciples had a mission. Well, stay with us here. And he says, but I pray, I pray for these alone, verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Raise your hand if you have believed on Jesus Christ. Come on, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, this is you he's praying for. He's praying for you here. And he says, the ones that believe through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We are his body. We are his witnesses. We are the ones, his ambassadors to this world. He's praying for us and sending us out to continue the business of the Father. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. It's amazing. I hope you go home and really meditate on this prayer later today. That they may be one, and even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world again may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus said, you have a job to do. And in the same way he had his job and mission to do, and when it was finished, he dismissed his spirit, he went into the tomb, rose on the third day, he then walked the earth after before he ascended for 40 days, then he ascended back to the Father, where he's there right now making intercession for us, and he's saying to us, listen, you have a job to do too, until I take you home. You'll see me in glory one day. But right now you have a job to do. He sent us to continue the Father's business. You know the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And you say, that's scary. I can't do it. No, you can't do it. I can't do it. And I can't do this in my flesh. You can't do this this work in your flesh. But finish the rest of that verse. It goes on to say, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. When he went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is him, if you will, in to live within us and giving us the power as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. He lives within us, but we should be filled with the Holy Spirit poured out upon us to do this impossible task, to do the work Jesus has left us here to do. We in the church age are his hands, his feet. We are his eyes. We are his ears. We are his mouth to speak. We have to continue the Father's business. So what does it look like for us? Are we going to go to the cross to become sin for the world and pay the penalty? No. We couldn't do that. We're sinners. We needed a Savior. Only he could do that part of the work. He was the only one who took on that flesh to do that work. We can't do that. But you know what we need to do is we need to continue that work. First we need to do is proclaim that work. To let that work be proclaimed, the continuing work that what Jesus did for us. We don't take that cross, but what we do, Jesus, I think the best way for me to say it is this way. You remember that story, the man comes to Jesus, he had a lot of money, he was wealthy, and he said to Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus starts telling him about doing the commandments, do this, and he goes, Jesus, I've done all these things since my youth. Now, Jesus doesn't rebuke him and say, no, you never did it. For the most part, this probably was a really good guy. He probably did his best to keep the law of Moses, to do the things the right way. So Jesus doesn't even challenge him on that. But then Jesus says to him, well, there's one thing you have to do, and this is in Mark 10. He says, looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, because he was very wealthy, right? And give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now, this is not teaching that the way to get to heaven is sell all your earthly possessions and do, no, he's not that. This man, that was what was keeping him from following Jesus, his possessions, his wealth. That was his idol. That was his God. That was keeping him. Jesus says, you're lacking something. And what you're lacking is dying to yourself. You want to figure out your way to get to God. You want to figure out a salvation strategy that allows you to do the things you want to do and make your own way to God. I'm telling you, you need to forget all of that. You need to follow me. And you need to take up the cross. The cross, you know what it equals? Death. Death to self. See, this man, that man, young man, had to die to self, to his idols, that he would be able to follow Jesus and to receive salvation, but then to do the Father's business. And in the same way, you and I have to die. You and I have to die. You say, wait a minute, I can't do the Father's work until I'm dead and they put me in the ground, and then what? I'm up in heaven doing the Father's work? No. When I'm talking about dying, what Jesus was talking about dying to that man, taking up his cross, meant dying to yourself in this world. If you spend any time with me, you guys are getting to know me a little bit more and more, you're going to hear me say a verse very often when it comes to us doing the things that we should be doing for God and understanding what God has done or what God has planned for our life. And I have not found anything else in Scripture that shows us a greater way to know God's plan to continue on the business. Because listen, I'm going to say something to us. Every one of us should be doing the business of the Father. It's going to look different in all of our lives. And I'm going to touch on that in a few seconds here. But the thing is, we all should be doing the Father's business. And the only way to do the Father's business and to know what that is for us is to die. Romans chapter 1. Or chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul speaking to the church, speaking to us today, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself or offer yourself, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you know that's kind of a contradiction of terms there, living sacrifice. A sacrifice by nature dies. When they used to put an animal up on the altar to cover the sins back in the Old Testament, right? It slit its throat, bled it out, burned it up. I mean, it was dead. Jesus went to the cross, became the sacrifice for the sin of the world. He died. A sacrifice dies. Well, Paul isn't saying, oh, you all have to commit suicide and then you can live for God. No, what he's saying is you need to be a living sacrifice, meaning you need to be dead to yourself, your way, and alive unto Jesus Christ and his plan for your life and his will for your life. That's the only way. And look, it goes on. And the only way for us to do that, he says, this is your reasonable service. In other words, this is just what makes sense. Once you strip everything else away, if you're a child of God, you're his now. He purchased you. He purchased me with his precious blood. We're his. Yet what do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. I love you. I'll take it from here. Right? If we're being honest. No, 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 no. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I couldn't do that, and I also can't live for you unless you do it in and through me. So what do? We die to self, die to our own way, and then he says, do not be conformed to this world. How many of us know here today that we are very conformed to this world? More than we should be. We are. You know, I'll raise two hands, you know. Not proud of it, but we do. We get conformed. But don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind. We need to have our minds renewed daily with all the stuff we're bombarded with from this world. We need to be in the Word of God and having the Holy Spirit and the Word of God wash us and change our mind and get us on the right page so that we can understand the will of God. Because he says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God for your life? Die to yourself. Stop conforming to this world and allow him to transform and renew your mind. And next thing you know, you're going to hear clearly from him the things he wants you to do. That's if you want to do it, but that's up to you and him. My message is my job is just to say the message and teach it. I have to live it for me too. Because there's many times I would shame to say that I have not been about the Father's business. You know, I kind of did my thing. No, we all can do that, but are we going to say today, I want to be about my Father's business. I want to do the things he's called me to do. I would hope, in addition to reading John 17, so I'm giving you some homework, disguising it in the homework, read the rest of Romans chapter 12. He's going to say in that chapter that every man, right, shouldn't think more highly of himself than he should. But we should think soberly as to what gifts God has given us. And to do the things that he has given us gifts to do, both the natural gifts and talents that he's given all of us, but even more importantly, the spiritual gifts and talents, or the spiritual gifts that he's given us, to do the things that he's called us to do. And if you read the rest of that chapter, he says, if you're called to preach, preach. If you're called to minister, minister. If you're called to this, if you're called for hospitality, do it. Whatever it happens to be, you do what he's called you to do. So again, let's bring this all together. Jesus says at 12 years old, I got to do my father's business. For him to do the father's business, he first had to be obedient to Joseph and Mary, go home. He had to stay at home after Joseph passed from the scene, become a carpenter, do the work to support the family. And then when the call came from the Lord to go start his earthly ministry, he went out to be the sacrifice of the world. For you, you say, well, what is his plan for me? Well, that's between you and him. I can't tell you what that is, but I know it is to do his business. Maybe you need to stay at home a little more, some of us. Not to stay home, watch TV. Stay at home to help out at home because things need to be addressed at home and you've been avoiding doing that. And you say, no, I'll go to church. And you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't be in church. And I'm not talking about just like a Sunday service. Some people get busy in what they say, oh, I'm doing all Jesus' business, and they're neglecting home. No, take care of home. When you're on the job, you can do Jesus' business, the Father's business on the job. How many of you here have been touched by somebody because you worked with them, right? Somebody said something to you, shared something with you, invited you to church, gave you a track, right? Gave you, you know, something to listen to or whatever. You could be sick in the hospital and have work the Father's business while you're sick in the hospital. I've seen it many times. I have so many testimonies I don't have time to give, maybe another time, of people that I went to pray with them to encourage them while they're in the hospital, and they bless me because they tell me how Jesus is using them in the hospital. And they're the Father's plan, the Father's will, the Father's business. So whatever it looks like for you, it'll all be for the same purpose. Our Father's business is the same, but it will look differently for each one of us as we go about doing that business. But the question is, do you want to do the Father's business? One thing I will tell you is you and I have to be together to help ourselves grow. Jesus was obedient to his parents, went back home, grew up with his brothers and sisters, did all those different things. But he also, when he was in the temple too, or in the synagogue, he was learning. And that's why we can never continue to grow in our Christian faith unless we're in the Word of God. And you do that at home, that's great. But we also have to remember, Hebrews says, you know, we have to provoke one another to love and good works. We have to push one another to complete the work the Father called us to do. So we should not, according to Hebrews 10, forsake the assembly. We need to be together. We can't provoke one another to love and good works if we're not together. We can't continue to learn together and grow together if we're not together. So we be in the house of God. Come out Sundays and, you know, midweek services, prayer meetings, all those different things. And then let the Word of God transform your mind. Renew your mind. That you may know the perfect, good will of God for you and the plan he has for you to finish the Father's business. And you could with joy say, I'm doing my Father's business. I'm about my Father's business. And you could say in the same way that everything that you and I do, 1 Corinthians 10, right? Eat or drink, whatever we do, we're going to do it all for the glory of God. Amen? Let's be about our Father's business. Father, thank you today for your word. It's truth, it's life, it's meat for us. Father, we heard it today, but it's what we do with it that really matters. Father, would we today submit to you, your Holy Spirit, your will, your way? Father, help us today to surrender our lives to you, to die to self, to take up the cross, to follow you, to be renewed in our mind. And as we are renewed and transformed, let us know that perfect will. And then let us step in by faith to do the work you've left us here to do. And Lord, we want to thank you that, Lord, as Jesus said, we could say, Father, we finished. We did it. And then he'll say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you. Do your work in our lives now by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.